We are celebrating the concert band season here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is British composer Gustav Holst's first suite in E-flat, perhaps a crowd pleaser at community band performances you've attended. The Association of Concert Bands is an international organization serving adult community bands, nearly 600 member bands in their U.S. ranks listed on their site, 13 in Wisconsin. Join in on municipal and community bands. Maybe you're a member or frequent these concerts, 800-642-1234. Gail Brechting is president of the Association of Concert Bands in her 25th year as conductor of the West Michigan Concert Winds, was a band director in Michigan at the K-12 and college level for 40 years. Gail, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning from Michigan. Thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here. It's nice to be not too far away, just across the big lake.
Yes, so. Hello, thanks. Neighbor across the big lake. Right.
Exactly. We're waving at each other, right.
Oh, I am so curious what your love and attraction is to community bands. What makes them such a precious part of our society, Gail?
Well, you know, I never thought I would necessarily go on this path. You know, I've been a band director forever, but I got involved as a musician myself in community bands. And it is the place where people who are out doing their own lives, having their own families, come back together for that passion that they've always loved as they probably grew up and got into the bands. Here in America, you know, we have school bands, and that's where a lot of people get that start. And then the communities have allowed for it to be a place that you can get back and enjoy that passion that you had. So community bands are very, very, very big right now, especially. They were big back in the 1800s in Sousa's time, mm-hmm. and then they kind of waned for a bit. And now they're really making a huge comeback. And I think it's because people just want to be part of what they had perhaps when they were in high school. That's a joyful time. And that's a lot of people do that. I have people in my band who say, I get back in this group and I'm with my people. They speak my language, you know? And so I think that that's a really important part of it. But it based out of what's important in the community, you know, it goes back for quite a ways back historically. I think it was something that businesses or corporations or companies did back in the 1800s to give their people that worked, you know, in their company for years and years, something to do in the evening, long before even radio or TV or computers or Spotify. You know, it was something to do. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's where it got started. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was an important part and a great deal of pride. Many of them were named after their city or their town. And so there was a great deal of pride. And sometimes even after that company that started them, there's a group in England called the Black Dyke Brass Band. And it was the Black Dyke, I believe it was a mining company. So, and that transferred to America when all of the, you know, immigration happened. So that's where it kind of started in regards to that. But as far as you said, it just forms a wonderful community for people who like to do this. You know, it's like, it's like going bowling or bridge clubs or, you know, things like that. It's an interest, that common interest.
It makes me curious about their ranks today because we've seen volunteer rates for charity organizations on the decline. How is the Association of Concert Bands recruiting members, or how do you see membership in these, you know, community bands? How do they stay vibrant?
Right. Well, it's almost the opposite of what you just said about volunteering on the decline. We have seen, and I've been involved with this organization for maybe 20 years total, being on the board and you know, in organization that needs help here and there. I've been involved and then became president 2 years ago. But the thing that we've noticed is we are on the upswing with community bands. It's almost the opposite. It's people wanting to do something again, that has that worth to them singularly by themselves. They want to do something, but they want to do it with a group. And so we've seen many new upstart bands coming out of the outgrowth of a city, you know, out in these suburbans. There might be in a city the size of, let's say, Chicago, there might be 100 community bands, you know.
Wow.
They're all over. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about concert and community bands with the president of the Association of Concert Bands, Gail Brechting, conductor in Michigan, previous band director in public schools for more than 40 years. You can join in on community bands, maybe one you're a part of, the ones you love to go to, those concerts in the summer, 800-642-1234. Gail, you mentioned SUSE, and we want to play one of the more popular city band songs. This is John Philip Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever, performed by the U.S. Marine Band. Yes, we know it well. Why does this resonate with Americans?
Well, it resonates because, first of all, the title, Stars and Stripes Forever, it was written to describe our flag, which is an important thing. And in 1987, I don't know how many of your listeners know this, in 1987, there was a move to have a national march. And so there were petitions that went out. I know they were around here in my communities. We got it out to the people. They had to sign it just like anything else that would happen in a vote. And it was named the National March of the United States of America. It is actually officially our march, which that in itself, I think, says something very great about the music. Hmm. And then there's a funny little story. If we have time, I want to tell it.
Sure.
This used to be called the Disaster March because I know. I didn't think that was so great until I heard why. In circus bands, and those people who remember going to circuses, they were live little bands that played for all the music, and they had signals. And one of the signals was if there was truly a disaster, like a fire or something that we had to get the people out of the circus tent, this was the march that was played, and it was a signal to get everybody out.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's this march. Is it? I know. Isn't that interesting? I didn't like the title of it, especially when it became the national march, but I thought that was an interesting fact about this particular march.
SUSE was also known for leading the U.S. Marine Band for a dozen years in the late 1800s. What is the significance of the U.S. Marine Band?
There's a lot of significance to the U.S. Marine Band or any of the big military bands. They show us what the quality of an ensemble can be. People that are in these bands all pretty much have their master's degree in that instrument that they play. Hmm. It used to be you could audition and just get into the band. Now you pretty much have to have a degree from a university in your performance instrument to be able to be in these bands. But the thing that they do is they serve our country in good times and in bad times. They are something that helps the people feel better about life, to go on perhaps the charge of having to fight. Or you know, in the sad times when we have to bury someone, if you think about it, there's almost always a band there or music there of some sort. Mm. So music serves as, you know, that wonderful cushion to all of us for all the things in our lives. And that's why we still have military bands, because it is so true that it's important to all humans to have something to help cushion that blow.
Let's take a call now. Emily joining us from Mount Horeb. Emily, you were a member of a community band or are?
Yes, that's correct. I was in the Verona area community band, mm-hmm. and I was in that for a number of years before the pandemic started. I'm kind of slowly getting back into live performing just out of precaution, but I think it's just a wonderful organization to have available to the community. I've met so many wonderful people. They had a great repertoire of music, and it was something I did music throughout college, but it's not my career. And just being able to have that opportunity to continue doing something after I was out of college, it made the transition into the workforce a lot better. It just made my heart so happy to be able to share music with people who are passionate like I was.
What do you play?
I play flute, and I didn't do this in a community band, but I also play violin as well.
Oh, wow. Emily, thank you. Gail, go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to ask the same thing, what instrument she played, and that's fantastic. And that says it right there, Emily. It's so important that I've had students come out of universities and find my band or any band that the ability to go and find a band is on our ACB website, Find a Band, it's called. And that part of it is great for these kids coming out of college who might have played in college bands. And it allows them, again, to find people that are of like thought and interest. And it allows them to get to come into the adult world and doing something they feel real comfortable with. So I'm glad. Thank you, Emily, for sharing that.
Emily, who took a hiatus for a bit during the pandemic, how has the pandemic affected these bands as you look across America?
Yeah, it's been interesting to be in the arts through the pandemic. Many, many bands, of course, we were just shut down, as everybody was. Some of the bands were shut down and still are just coming back, like Emily was saying. Some bands made virtual songs, and what they did is each individual person was given their part and had to record it and then send it in, and then it was edited and put together. I know many bands that did that, but you had to have people with skills to do that. And then there are groups that are coming back slowly. One of the things we had to do was there was a big study on all the aerosol, how it was affecting people within the room as they were playing. And it was University of Colorado that did this big study. There was also one out in Maine that did this study. ACB was involved with that study, and it allowed school bands, college bands, community bands to be able to safely do something during that pandemic time. And we had to be 6 to 8 feet apart. We all had to have masks on over our instruments as well as our faces, and be in a huge room. It was very difficult because that's not how it is. That's not how it's set up. So as we've been able to get outside more and do things, last summer was a glorious summer because we all got to go outside and play and not have all this paraphernalia on us and our instruments. But then we had to come back in, and Omicron hit, and then we had to go back into that other style. So a lot of groups just said, I don't want to deal with that. And many groups are just coming back. I don't think we really lost too many. I know there are some that did go defunct because they just couldn't afford to do things, and that's sad. But I think they'll start to come back. I think we'll start to see a resurgence of them in the next couple of years. So.
Gail Brechting with us leads the Association of Concert Bands, supporting adult concert community municipal bands across the U.S. and the world. Join in on what these bands mean to your community. A shout out to Verona, Fort Atkinson, West Bend, Eau Claire, 800-642-1234. This is another John Philip Sousa song, Wisconsin Forward Forever. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Right now, this is Leroy Anderson's Bugler's Holiday, part of the repertoire of City Band performances. On the morning show, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with the head of the Association of Concert Bands. Gail Brechting is here about the role of community bands. And I want to give a shout out to the Lake Harriet Bandshell in Minneapolis and all the city bands that have performed there. When I was growing up, that tradition is so fervent, even today as it was a half century ago. And I was looking at some of these bands formed way over 100 years ago. Join in on your memories, 800-642-1234. Gail is with us for about 9 more minutes. Gail, what are your fondest memories of attending municipal or community band concerts? What sticks out in your mind?
Well, I have to say that I was involved with community bands and orchestras growing up in the Petoskey area. A lot of it was during holiday times, and that was always fun. We had a great high school program, so we drew a lot of students out of it as well as adults. And then I got involved just playing. I'm a trombone player. I went to Central Michigan University, and I got my degree there and things, and I've played in them, and that was joyful. We did all kinds of fun things. You know, we were in parades, and we did concerts, and we would go to nursing homes, and we would do things to really aid our community. And then I got involved with conducting one. And so, you know, as you get involved, and then I got involved with the Association of Concert Bands, and here I am the president. You know,
it kind of snowballed just a little bit.
It did. How your path takes you. I am going to be coming over to Wisconsin. I have a daughter that goes to Marquette University.
Oh, do you?
I'm coming. Yes, and she's in the PA program there. But I'm coming over in August because I'm going to be giving an award to Dr. Fonder up in Appleton, Wisconsin, from the Association of Concert Bands. He received our Mentor Ideal Award for being such a fine educator and also community band person. And so I'm coming over to, and so for Appleton people in that area, I'm going to be there on August 2nd, I believe, for a concert with the community band in Appleton. And love to see you if you're up there. You know, come up and say hi if you heard us on the radio today.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's take another call. Jean joining us from Madison. Jean, hi.
Oh, hi. Well, you're just bringing back memories, and it's still a current band. It's our neighborhood Westmoreland Walking Band in Madison, and started by Julie Verbin, music director in the school system, and it's just a fabulous little band. The main performances are the neighborhood 4th of July parade, and then there's a Halloween parade that kind of goes in the other direction from the church parking lot to the park and back, and it's just adorable. And kids join it. They can be, you know, middle school just learning their instruments. They usually have one practice and then they perform, and it always sounds great, and it's just a hit. You know, older adults come back, and it's just a lot of fun.
Jean, do you participate?
My daughter did. Yeah,
okay.
We were always there. She was a flute player, and it was fun. And even after she was out of school, she kept going whenever she could. And then when they get to the park, they play some songs for the flag raising ceremony, and it's quite adorable.
Oh, I love that tradition. And it really, Gail, sounds like this brings together a neighborhood.
Oh, absolutely. And these are the things that you see. And you see community bands oftentimes can be children all the way up to 90 year olds and older. I mean, one of the gentlemen in my band was 90 years old, was still playing. We have many people in the community bands throughout the nation that played in school, stopped playing, and then had their families and their careers, and then are like, you know, when you retire, what am I going to do? And one of the things they loved the most was maybe playing their instrument in school. And you see these people coming back. I've had many people come back after 30, 40, 50 years and find their way back into this love. So it is an important part of people's lives.
Well, let's bring in Henry now on the road to Indianapolis, I understand. Henry, hi.
Hi. Sorry. On the highway, actually heading for Milwaukee first.
Okay.
But, just want to mention, I'm sort of what she's talking about. I played in college. My dad was an orchestra conductor, my grandfather too, and played in orchestras, but didn't have a place to play immediately. I've been in public radio all my life, actually. But then found out at College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, they were forming a one-to-a-part wind ensemble, and I had a month to audition, got in as second flute, then was playing in the Bensonville wind ensemble there, and have been playing ever since. Played in, I'm right now in three groups in Indianapolis. One that went through the pandemic, we were the group that actually reopened one of the major concert halls in Carmel, the Palladium. We were the experimental group that got involved with, and we were also the group that helped tune the hall when they were working on the acoustics with it originally. But playing in that group, played in the Greenwood Band in Greenwood, Indiana, which was one that we extended our concert season when COVID hit, and then tended to play too many concerts in really cold weather for a while. Also played in the Symphonic Pops in New Orleans. Their conductors' daughter actually plays piccolo in the Seattle Symphony.
Wow.
I played in the Mobile Pops too. So I've sort of traveled south to north, north to south, back sort of to the Midwest again. Flute and piccolo. So.
Henry, you've caught the bug. I will declare it. Maybe you don't realize that, but I mean, Gail, involved in three, right. I think you said, in Indianapolis alone.
Right. Oh, yes. There are people that in my groups who play in every place they can get. I mean, they just, that's what they want to do. You're right. It's a good way to say it, Kate, is that they caught the bug. And it's just such an important part of their life. Another thing that I do is I'm the adult program director of Blue Lake Fine Arts Camp here in Michigan. And we have an adult program that's 30 years old. And we have people that come from all over to revisit that experience they had of being at camp and music and as kids. And the adults get to do it too, but not for as long, not for 2 weeks. They get to do it for 4 days, but still that's enough, you know, to get back into the woods and play with other people and have a good time and meet people from all over. You know, that thing of everybody knows someone 1 to 6, that ratio. Music, I think in music, it's about 1 to 2. I really, truly believe that because it's worldwide. I've got friends everywhere in the world because of being involved with concert bands.
Mm-hmm. Well, practically speaking, how does someone start a community band? How does one start a city band in their community?
Sure. It's really not as difficult as you might think, because if your community has a school band, oftentimes that's where you can find yourself going to them and talking to them. Sometimes that director will want to do something. Perhaps the middle school director, who isn't quite as busy in regards to, you know, high school programs that the high school directors have to do. And they're the ones, because it's a passion within you. It's almost like a religion, you know. It's not something that you just do and you're done with it. It truly is something that people want to do. But you can start talking to that person to help organize. Sometimes I see it done through organizations like VFW, American Legions. They were started that way a lot during the 50s and 60s. A lot of people just get the group of people together. Maybe they start with 10 people and, you know, they started out that way and they rehearse on a Monday night or whatever. And they borrow music perhaps for a while till they can get themselves into an organizational big enough to be able to fund themselves, do concerts and have fun and decide what you want to do with it. Now, ACB has a website and on there it says how to start a community band. And so there's a whole booklet that we have designed to help with people who really, truly would like to do this. Right. So it's on our website.
Well, Gail, so good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Oh, it's been a thrill. It goes by way too fast. I have so much more I'd love to share. So
next time, Gail Brechting is president of the Association of Concert Bands in her 25th year as conductor of the West Michigan Concert Winds in Muskegon, former band director in Michigan. We go out with more Leroy Anderson's Bugler's Holiday. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.